Today on The Journey.
If you look at your eternal destiny in Scripture, it's not about getting there by works. It's not about faith plus works. It's about faith alone in Christ alone. But good works will follow.
When your faith is held up to the light, what does it look like? Does it compare favorably to the picture found in God's Word? Or is it lacking some vital element that would disqualify you as a believer? Today, Ron Moore continues his look at the character of living faith through the lens of Scripture. Live its truth and let your light shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part two of a message titled, Faith, Dead or Alive, on the Journey.
Now I am not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I'll make a prediction. Every one of us will eventually die. And so the question that would follow is, after death, then what? Where will you spend eternity? And most people would say, well, I hope to spend eternity in heaven. And so there's another question. How can you know for certain that when you close your eyes in death, you will spend eternity with God? Now, through the history of the church, there have been a lot of people trying to answer that question, and they have asked the question and answered it in different ways. Some people would say, you can't know for sure. They would say that salvation is by works, that you have to work your way to God, that at the end of your life, God's going to take all your good deeds, and He's going to take all your bad deeds. And as you stand before Him with eternity in balance, you pray that there'll be an ounce more of good deeds than bad deeds, and the scales will at least tip your way. Some people would say, no, it's not salvation by works. It's faith plus works that gets you there. It's believing, but also working. And faith is important, but it's not enough. You have to work as well. And so it's kind of like half and half, little milk, little cream. You put faith together and you put works together and it ends up the product that God wants. Others would say, no, you got it all wrong. It's not about works at all. It had nothing to do with works. It's what some would call easy believism. You just say, I believe. You just sign the card. You just walk down the aisle, you just say the prayer, you just raise your hand. And it really doesn't matter if your life changes or not. It doesn't matter what happens after you pray that prayer or sign that card. It makes no difference. It's just that you did it. That's all you do. Well, the Bible says there's one other way. It's the only way. And the Bible says that here's how you know for certain where you're going to spend eternity. By grace, through faith, in Christ alone. That's how you come to a saving relationship, a living relationship with Christ. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. There are many places in Scripture we could go to support that, but Paul says it so well in Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You are a spiritual corpse. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. We were a spiritual corpse. But because of God, His love, His mercy, He is the one who made us alive. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It is not of work, so that no one can boast. No one can say, I was good enough for God. You can't be good enough for God. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not about works. Salvation isn't. It's about God. But Paul goes on to say something else. He answers the question, how can we know that our faith in God is genuine? And he says it this way, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not a work, so no one could boast, for we are God's workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus by God to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if you look at your eternal destiny in Scripture, it's not about getting there by works. It's not about faith plus works. It's about faith alone in Christ alone. But inevitably, when that happens in our life, good works will follow as proof. That's why James wrote his book. He was writing to Christians. He was writing to people who had already professed their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. So he's not going to tell us how to become a Christian. James is writing his book because he is telling us this is what true, genuine faith looks like. Do you want to know if your faith is for real? Do you want to know if that profession has something to it? Here's what genuine faith looks like, and here's the way God wants us to live. We started looking at James chapter 2 as we're working our way through this book, verses 14 through 19, and we learned three things there. First, we learned that saving faith affects a person's behavior. We learned that a profession of faith with no product of faith is no proof of faith. We learned that saving faith is followed by godly actions. And so James begins in chapter 2, verse 20, after he has said that, by saying, let me give you a real life example of how that works. In fact, let me give you two examples. One example is Rahab, but the example we want to look at today is Abraham. Let's look at James chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. James says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Do you want evidence that faith followed by no good works that God has created you to do, do you want evidence to show that that is of no benefit, that that's just an empty profession? Verse 21, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. Now James, remember, is writing to Jewish Christians. They would have known this story of Abraham frontwards and backwards. They would have heard that story ever since they were very small. And they would have understood all the details of it. And so let's go back and make sure we understand that story. And then, because this passage of Scripture is so critical, let's go back and work our way verse by verse through these four or five verses in James chapter 2. But first, let's go back to Genesis 12 and look at the story of Abraham. We're first introduced to Abraham in chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you'll be a great blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, who's the subject of verses 1 through 3 in Genesis 2? Not Abraham, but God. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Abraham, I am the one. I am the subject. Not you, it's me. I'm going to make you a great nation. That nation will become the nation of Israel. And through that nation, in the last verse, verse 3, I'm going to bless all the peoples of the earth. How is God going to do that? He's going to send Jesus Christ through the nation of Israel, Savior of the world. Now, did Abraham believe what God was saying? A better question, how would we know Abraham believed God's promise to him, his word, in Genesis 12, 1-3? How would we know? Well, we would know by Abraham's response, wouldn't we? Look at verse 4. We know Abraham believed because Abraham did what God said. So Abraham left as the Lord told him to leave. In the New Testament, the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 11 says it this way, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. So his faith was proven by his actions. Turn over to Genesis chapter 15. We don't know exactly when it was where Abraham experienced saving faith. But Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, kind of as a parenthesis, gives us the statement of Abraham's faith. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. This is right after God has repeated his promise to him and what he was going to do to him, and he was going to make a great nation out of him. And then Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord, better believed in the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The word credited is a legal or financial term that means to put into one's account. And so think of it this way. Abraham had a spiritual bank book with no money in it. He was spiritually bankrupt. And so by faith, God credited to Abraham righteousness. Righteousness is the standard by which God wants us to live. And he credited Abraham with righteousness. And so now as he looked in Abraham's bank book, he didn't see the spiritual bankruptcy, but now he saw the righteousness that he wanted there. And it got there by Abraham's faith. We call that justification. Abraham's faith, apart from works, resulted in his justification, his being credited with righteousness. And justification, if we want to put a definition to that, is the act, not the process, but the act whereby God declares the believing sinner righteous. So in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, God justified Abraham, or that's the statement of his justification. He declared Abraham righteous because of Abraham's faith. Now, that justification is a private act, isn't it, between God and Abraham. How do we know that it happened? What would be the proof that this spiritual act, this divine act, took place in Abraham's life? James is going to say, look over at Genesis chapter 22. Turn over there. And if we took time to read it, we would see here is a story of Abraham being tested in a significant way. There are other things that James could have pointed to show us that Abraham proved his faith, but he goes to the extreme example of being told to sacrifice his son Isaac. You remember Isaac was the son of promise, the only son that Sarah and Abraham had, and God, to test Abraham's faith, to develop him, said, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And you know that Abraham went, he was about to sacrifice Isaac, and right as he was about to do it, an angel stopped him, said, there's a ram here in the thicket, sacrifice the ram instead. And the writer of Hebrews explains it this way. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So he's still believing in the word of God, even though he's about to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. If I kill Isaac, I know God's promise is going to be true. I have faith in God. And if I put him to death, God's going to bring him back to life. Well, God had another idea. And the writer says, figuratively speaking, he did bring Isaac back to life. He said, stop and take the ram instead. So how was Abraham's justification proven? Well, the third point with Abraham, Abraham's works proved his genuine faith. Was Abraham saved? Was he justified in Genesis 22 when he offered Isaac? No. He was justified back in Genesis 15. But as proof of his genuine, living faith, James points us to his works, this extreme work of believing God and trusting in God. All right, let's go back to James chapter 2 and just work our way through this very important passage. Verse 21. So James says, you want evidence? Here it is. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? So the first point there is this. Genuine saving faith is proven by actions. Was Abraham considered justified by God when he offered Isaac on the altar? No, that had already happened in Genesis chapter 15. But were we able to see the proof of Abraham's genuine, real, living faith by what he did in Genesis 22? Yeah. Genuine saving faith is proven by actions. And so it is with us. If we truly trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have been created in Christ Jesus as a new creation, His workmanship, created to do the works that He has for us, then our works, what we do, will prove our faith. There will be some type of life, some type of spiritual pulse. For some, it might be like this. For others, it might be like this. But there will be a spiritual pulse to demonstrate that our faith is for real, to prove to us and to others that our saving faith is genuine. Go to verse 22. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And you say, wait a minute, that sounds like that half and half. To me, that sounds like faith plus works. Let's look at it more closely. James is saying this, faith and works are not mutually exclusive. You can't have someone over here saying salvation is just by works and someone over here saying, no, it's just by faith. It's not mutually exclusive. It's by faith alone, and the works come after, since we are created in Jesus Christ. Saving faith is demonstrated to be real by our actions. So let me ask you another question. Is your faith demonstrated to be real in your life? Or has there been a time when you said, I believe, but when you look back, you say, you know, there's not been one bit of difference in my life. I signed the card. I walked away. I acted no differently. I did the same old things I did, the same old sins in a consistent way as I did before I signed the card or before I made the profession. Genuine faith is proven by our actions. And so James is saying to us that faith and works are not mutually exclusive, that we are saved by faith alone, but when that happens, works follow. Remember Ephesians 2:10, the works that God has created for us to do. And if we're not doing the works He's created us to do, the question is, have we been created by Him in the first place? Is there spiritual life in us? James chapter 2, verse 18 says, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. You can't. And I'll show you my faith by what I do. I will prove my faith by my actions. They are not mutually exclusive. Let's look at verse 23. And Scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Now, what allows us to have an everlasting relationship with God? That bank book with the righteousness of Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. When we trust in Christ, God takes the perfect sacrifice of Christ for sin, and He imputes it, or He credits us, He gives it to us, and puts it in our bank book. So justification by faith, that crediting of the righteousness of Christ by faith alone, makes us a friend of God. And being a friend of God means that God took the righteousness of Christ, the perfect work of Christ, the substitutionary atonement of Christ, and He imputed it. He gave it to our account. And just as we can say in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. You can put your name in that. I can put my name in it if we've trusted in Christ. We trusted in Christ and God credited it to us as righteousness. That makes us a friend of God. If we've not trusted in Christ, we are no friend of God. Verse 24. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Now again, James has been arguing throughout this. He's writing to believers, but he's saying, do you want to know your faith is for real? You're not justified just by an empty profession of faith. That's not enough. You can shout it from the mountaintops. You can write it across your forehead. You can make this profession of faith, but if it is empty, it's no good. It must be proven by godly action. It's the same thing Paul tells us in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. He says, there were certain people, they claimed to know God, they made a profession of faith. They claimed to know God, yeah, I'm a Christian. They make a claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. And he goes on to say that they are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. They're not doing good works. Even though they make a profession, their actions deny Him. An empty profession is not enough. Justification is proven by godly action. So the question is really this, isn't it? Proof of faith. Is it dead? Is it alive? When it is alive, James says, there will be signs of life.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive, is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Is our faith dead or alive? Turn with me to James chapter 2, and let's set our context for today as we look at an example that James gives. James says in chapter 2, verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by works, is dead. So James says two things in this first portion of his teaching to answer this question, is your faith dead or alive? Number one, a profession of faith with no product of faith is no proof of faith. And number two, saving faith is followed by godly action. Saving faith by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, produces new life. It affects our behavior. It influences what we do. It changes us from the inside, and that's demonstrated on the outside.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, for our Pittsburgh area listeners, the Real Conversation continues at the Bible Chapel with Real Talk, Conversations from Corinth. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, we'll discover what God has to say about leadership, sex, life, victory, and connection. This is a series you won't want to miss. The Bible Chapel has campuses across the greater Pittsburgh area. Visit BibleChapel.org for a location near you. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.